You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. I want you to know it's a Monday. if Mondays can be somewhat challenging for you, sometimes there are things that I need to bring with me into the radio studio. And those are sitting on my desk in my office right now. So we want to thank you for tuning in. We're going to spend the next half hour with you going through God's Word. We're in Psalm 142. We started there last week. We will work our way through the latter part of, actually the last verse of Psalm 142 today. And so I'm just going to have to trust the things that have been written on the tablet of my heart today, since the cheat sheet is still in my office. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete, the Anderson family has been part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. We've been there for a little over 33 years now. They've been there longer than that. They have been doing concrete work in Brevard County for decades and decades and decades. They have a team that is necessary. They've done small jobs. They've done medium-sized jobs. They've done big jobs. They are what I call experts in all things concrete. They know the specifications. They know what needs to be done in certain jobs, but it needs to be different in different jobs. Watched a documentary one time about a concrete job that was done, and they used an inadequate strength concrete mixture, and they had to go in there and jackhammer all of that up, and it was a massive job, which means it was a massive mess. I don't like massive messes. And therefore, whenever I have a concrete situation that arises in my life, the folks at Jits Concrete are the people that I call. They do everything from the strategizing to the prepping the work, doing the pour, finishing the concrete, doing the cleanup, and they do all of that. And I remember I had a two-stage process. One of them was very tiny. One of them was much more substantial. And whenever they did the one, as like, I never knew that they had that. That is a brilliant product. They have knowledge that you and I may not have. You might know what it was like to do concrete 60 or 70 years ago, but there are some new things out there. Jits Concrete, they have the expertise that you need. They have the good experience that you desire, and they have the great work ethic that is necessary to get your project not only contemplated, not only planned, but they can make it happen. They can bring it into existence for you. So then they'll get out of your way so you can move on with your project, or you can get on with enjoying your project, whichever it is. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. If you're looking at doing something, this is a great time to call them in way of being blessing to them, because then they can do your job, and it's not heat index of 110 out there. So we are thankful for Jits Concrete for being friends of the Refresh radio program. Real quickly, like to invite you to our Wednesday night service, Christmas Eve communion service, 6 p.m. Wednesday night, 165 North Grove Street. We will be singing some Christmas carols. We will be reading the Christmas story. We will be celebrating communion. We will be praying a blessing over our church, over the people who attend. And then we're going to be releasing you by 7 o'clock or at 7 o'clock, and you can go on and celebrate Christmas and enjoy the blessings of being a child of the Most High God. So that's what's coming up this week. I also want to let you know that during the Christmas to New Year's season, there are some radio rebroadcasts that we do. And so if you're listening to a program and say, you know, this sounds kind of familiar, that's because it sounds familiar, because we do that during this time of year. It's one of those, it doesn't happen very often. We do a Good Friday rebroadcast. We do a Thanksgiving week rebroadcast. And then we do around Christmas to New Year's rebroadcast. Outside of that, in the, let's see, started in 2013. So 12 plus years of doing the Refresh radio program, there's only been one other time where we had to do two or three rebroadcasts, and that was due to a family health crisis out of state that demanded my attention. So that gives you a little bit of a heads up what's going on. So let me say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from myself and the wonderful folks at Merit Assembly of God. Let me read to you Psalm 142, and then we'll dive back in to verse number 7. It says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no knowledge, or no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Verse number 7 says, bring my soul out of prison. That's what we were talking about on Friday's broadcast. This is not a physical incarceration. This is a prison where your very life may feel like you're in a cell, a pit, or a dungeon. That word prison, it means a locked pit or a locked dungeon. A place that you can't get out of. It may be something you can't get out of physically. By the way, if that's something that you're facing, I'm going to be preaching a series of messages in 2026 about dealing with the traps of life. And so that's something, you know, we're looking forward to, is looking forward to God's people being set free to be all that they can be. So this pit, this dungeon, this prison is a place where David said, I can't get out of this place. Now, if it's a physical prison, that, you know, inconvenient, it's restrictive, it doesn't allow you to do the things that you want to do when you want to do them. But here, because of the word that he used, my soul, bring my soul out of prison, this could be a pit or a prison or a dungeon that the person is experiencing in their mind, where there are boundaries that they just can't get past. And I would tell you that God has the ability to destroy those strongholds, that he can renew our mind in Christ Jesus. There could be also a prison or a pit or a dungeon that you can't get out of because of your emotions. And believe me, the enemy will try and exploit all of these different aspects of our life. And so David had said up in verse number 4, no one cares for my soul, but God, you can bring my soul out of prison. The things that I have an appetite for, the things, you know, if you were a person and you had a substance abuse problem, God can change your appetite to where instead of being addicted to substance, you can be addicted to Jesus. You can be addicted to the Word. There are some positive things in this world that we can pour ourselves into, but it's not a prison. It is actually a spacious place where we can feast, where we can live, where we can exist, and where we can thrive. God can bring us out of that pit, that prison. Now, while acknowledging his ability to do so, we need to address here in verse number 7 that we've got, before that happens, we've got to address what is life going to look like when God brings me out of that pit. One of the programs last week, we talked about the recidivism rate, where people get out of prison and then they do something. I've seen some stories here in Brevard County. Within hours of being released, there were people who were already doing things that got them rearrested and were incarcerated once again. So why would God want to get us out of the pit? And a lot of times we might think, well, because a pit is an undesirable place. That is true. How did we get in there in the first place? Was it through something we did? Was it because we live in a fallen world? Is this actions that other people have sown into their life, or is this some consequences of what's going on in our life? So here's the thing. God responds to faith. He gave us faith to utilize our faith. And David says here in verse number 7, God, I'm asking you to bring my soul out of this prison for a reason. And that is so that I can praise your name. It's not just because I'm restricted, I'm uncomfortable, or this is a painful place, but God, I want to come out because I'm going to use this as a testimony to praise your name. So David, while acknowledging the overwhelming troubles that he's dealing with and the fact that he's got persecutors that are stronger than he is, says, God, you can bring me out of this. And when you do, I will praise your name. That's the verse that brought us to Psalm 142. We are supposed to be people of praise. I hope that you are a person that praises the name of the Lord. So when, you know, I've told you that I have pretty much, to the best of my ability, quit assuming that a word that I read in English is an adequate representation of what the word in the Hebrew or the Greek or the Aramaic might be. And so when I dove into the word name here, because most of the time when I start talking about the name, I either talk about the specific name, you know, that the Lord, my righteousness, the Lord, my shepherd, the Lord is my peace, the Lord is my provider. And I would focus on the various titles. But this word here talks about how you are called, how you are identified, and it even talks about, you know, that it reflects the brand. So the Arthur's name, if you will, it's my life, and I want to make sure that people, when they think of an Arthur's, that they think of a godly person, a person who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what my goal is. So in brand name clothing, there are some clothing companies, they charge more money because of the name that is on there. And there's some vanity inside some of these brands, because there can be some inferior clothing products, but because it's a desirable or recognizable name, people want to wear it. They pay for the privilege of advertising someone else's name. I want you to understand that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus paid the price so that I will testify to the greatness of his name. So his is the only real brand that I care about. My name is not going to save you. My name won't save me. The only thing that saves me is the blood of Jesus forgiving me of my sins. And as a result of Jesus' sacrificial work and my acceptance of his glorious, wonderful offer, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As a Christian, we are to reflect the name of the Lord. We're representing Jesus. And so David says, bring me out of my prison that I may praise your name. So when we traveled back in October, so not quite 2 months ago, but we traveled and we flew on an airplane or an airline company. We naturally flew on an airplane. We flew with an airline that don't normally fly, and their dealings with us were less than desirable. Some of it was automation. So let me just put this out there. I'm one of the people that wants to talk to a living human being when I have a problem. I don't mind leaving a voicemail. I don't mind talking with a chatbot. As long as I can get to a living human being at some point in time, and there was an airline company and a rental car company that made that extremely difficult, and I probably will not deal with those companies again unless I have to, because of the poor representation that went with their name. So my job as a believer is to represent Jesus in a way that is going to cause people to want to embrace him as Lord and Savior. I don't have a perfect record at this. I don't want to be the person that people use as an excuse as to why that they don't want to accept Jesus as the Lord of their life. Again, not perfect. There's people that I pray for. God, send them someone who will more than compensate for the bad experiences that they had with me. I try not to have that happen very often, but you know, I bring transparency here. If you were looking for perfect, you're going to have to tune into a different radio station. I'm not perfect. So David says, there's a reason why I want you to bring me out of this prison, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whatever. It may be a physical prison that you're in. God, I want you to bring me out. And when you do, I'm going to praise your name. It goes on here. There's two phrases that are left here. The first one says this: the righteous shall surround me. Did you know that you have a choice as to the character of the people that you hang around? I pray that you hang around with godly people, people who know the word, who live the word, who love the word, and because Jesus is living in their heart, they're going to live and conduct themselves in a just and righteous manner. There are some people that recognize that righteousness is a state of being before the throne, and that is true. But that state of being causes us to conduct ourselves in a manner that is different than people that do not have Jesus living in their life. A believer should think, speak, and act differently than an unbeliever, and it should be in a positive distinction, not a negative one. So it says, the righteous shall surround me. And that word righteous there describes a reality that the people that you are surrounding yourself with are wearing crowns. Okay? And so there is the crown of righteousness. There is the crown of life. And so you and I, we should live our lives in such a way that we reflect that we're members of the royal household. So if you surround yourself with godly and righteous people, you're going to get godly and righteous counsel. You are going to get people who are watching out for you, and you're able to watch out for them. And, you know, like it says in the New Testament, bad company corrupts good character. Well, good company impacts character in a positive direction. And so, David says, you bring me out of prison. You bring me out of this hopeless situation. I'm going to praise your name, and I'm going to surround myself with people of righteousness. That's a wonderful thing. That's what happens on Sunday mornings. That's what happens when we have our Christmas Eve service. Is there's going to be people, are they going to be perfect? No, not at all. They don't have a perfect pastor, and they're not perfect. And, but I tell you what, we can live the way that Jesus wants us to live. And any incident that is different from that should be a blip on the radar screen instead of considered to be the norm. So the two companies I was telling you about, I literally had to get in my car to resolve one of my issues that I had on that trip. I had to get into my vehicle, drive 40 minutes to speak to an actual physical person. When I was doing that, I was describing the unpleasant experience I had had at their other location, and there was a person that was working for a different company. They were about four places down, four businesses down, but there was no one else there. It was them. They had no customers, and I was dealing with the people at the company I was renting from, and the person down the hall started laughing. I said, did I say something funny? What? And they said, no, we just know who you're talking about because occasionally that person works here. And I was like, oh man, that's the type of reputation that you don't want. And we as believers in Brevard County should be making Jesus' name one that is to be embraced. Embrace righteousness yourself and surround yourself with righteous people as well. The last part here of Psalm 142, verse number 7 says this, for you, capital Y, referring to God, for you shall deal bountifully with me. He starts off surrounded and overwhelmed by his problems, but now he says, God, you have the power to bring me out of the pit. I'm going to surround myself with righteous people, and the way that you are going to deal with me is way better than the way that the devil will deal with me. When you deal with me, you're going to deal with me in an appropriate way, in a godly way. You are going to deal with me in a way that is just. And this word bountiful here, it's translated bountifully, it could also be said beautifully. You shall deal beautifully with me. And the thing about God is He has the ability to take an ugly situation and turn it into something beautiful. That was the end of David's story. David's story begins in very humble circumstances, but to this day, he is the standard for the earthly kings of Israel and Judah. To this day, David was the one that it's called the House of David. God dealt with him beautifully. He dealt with David honorably. He dealt with David in a manner that was compassionate. And he also deals with his people in a bountiful way. I pray that this Christmas season and on into 2026, that you would thrive in an abundance of what God can provide for you. I pray that you deal with God. Not make a deal, but that you make sure all of your decisions go through Him. Say, God, I am so thankful that you're in my life. I'm thankful that you're my Savior, but God, I'm thankful that you are my Lord as well. And so, God, you deal with me in a way that is going to result in my blessing, not in a way that is going to lead me into trouble. I've had people that gave me advice through the years. Their advice ended up getting me into trouble. I said, I don't ever want to go around that mountain again. But when I deal with things with God's word, with the God of His word, He deals with me in a way that is true, a way that is just, and a way that's going to result in blessing in my life and in the blessing of other people's lives as well. And that's what I want for me. That's what I want for you in this Christmas season and into 2026. May you abound in the blessings of the Lord. There's even a word in the Greek that it talks about superabound. That's really good. I can't even come up with a concept of what that looks like in my mind. I can tell you what it's like to have enough, but I'm thankful that God's not just the God of enough. He's the God of more than enough. And you will never find anyone that will treat you better than Jesus does. You can't treat yourself as well as Jesus wants to treat you. And others certainly will treat you worse than what Jesus will. God, bring me out of this prison. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.